This is day five of the 2007 Idyllwild Bible School. Our second period teacher is Brother Kitson Reed. His general topic is the hand of God in our lives. Today's topic is in times of trouble. Brother Kitson.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Wow. Big change from this morning, actually. So there's only about four people here. Well, in times of trouble. I think one of the things, brothers and sisters, that is so useful as we go through our lives is to take time to appreciate how God has worked in our lives. But further, to try to the best of our abilities to encourage others, other brothers and sisters, to see God's hand in their lives also. What I want to do in this study is to look specifically at the life of one man in the midst of problems and difficulties, and to see that for a time he raised the whole mindset of the nation. This particular man was one of the greatest kings who ruled God's people in his early years. Can you come over, please, to 2 Chronicles and chapter 14? And this is, of course, King Asa. We need to be reminded then of the background and the context in which he came and ascended the throne to rule God's people. What was the background? What were the challenges he had to face? What did he have to do to raise the nation's spirituality? And how did he cope? How did he go about it? And in so doing, brothers and sisters, it will of course be keeping with the theme of the hand of God in our lives in the context of King Asa and of course in the context of the lives of the nation at that time. So then, verse 1. So Abijah, Asa's father, slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. We only have to go back in the life of Abijah to see that in the context of Abijah, Asa's father, there was great idolatry in the land at that time. So how then, brothers and sisters, would Asa go about to raise the spirituality of the nation? How would he deal with the problems and the difficulties? How would he encourage them? How would he spur them on? What sort of example would he set before them? It's important to say that in verse 1, in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. So Asa ascends the throne, brothers and sisters, and for a period of 10 years, there was quietness. There was a period of rest. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God, and he took away the altars of the strange gods, the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. So immediately, that word break down means to shatter. From day one, brothers and sisters, Asa sets about a wondrous reformation. He clears the land of idolatry. He sets things in place again to really restore the people's faith in God. And for 10 years, there is a wonderful reformation. He breaks down the images. He cuts down the groves. He clears away, he clears the way, brothers and sisters, so that God's name might be glorified, so that the men and women of the land could reestablish themselves as God's people. And so he has to carry this momentum. And there again, that they would better appreciate the hand of God in the life of the nation. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. Now keep a marker in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and just go back please to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. Because in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12, it seems to me that Asa is quoting a verse from the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. A law and commandments. I will give thee a law and commandments. And isn't that a wonderful mindset, brethren and sisters? Go back now, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Isn't that a wonderful mindset? The king comes to the throne and he says to do the law and the commandments. I will give you a law and commandments. And it seems to me, brethren and sisters, he's quoting those words way back then in the life of Moses, how God commanded Moses, I will give you a law and commandments. And this is at the center of their worship. Come and I will give you a law and commandments to teach the people in the context of Moses. Asa ascends the throne. What's the first thing he does? He commends them to the law and the commandments. I move you on in the life of the Apostle Paul when he calls the elders from Ephesus, remember? And he says, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. No amount of ecclesial social evenings, no amount of ecclesial outings, important though they are, will ultimately build us up, brothers and sisters. Important though they are, in fellowship together. But in our ecclesial outings, our ecclesial trips out as a family, let's ensure that we find the time to do at least one of the Bible readings. That is the thing that will build us up, brother. That is the thing that will build us up, sister. So when the Apostle Paul calls the elders from Ephesus, and he says, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And that is a wonderful platform as to how King Asa sets about a wonderful reformation in the land. They have to get back to God's word, God's commandments. That is the thing that would forge the nation forward, getting back to God's word. To do the law and the commandments. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images. Margin, sun images. And we've spent time over the past few days, haven't we, brothers and sisters, comparing God's people way back there in Egypt. How the Egyptians worshipped Ra, the sun god, and how there was darkness in the land for 3 days. The context and the locality had changed, but the idolatry was still there in the hearts. They were worshipping images. My margin says, in the Hebrew, sun images. Keep your marker in 2 Chronicles 14, and please come across to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8. And we're going in at verse 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Verse 14, Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now Tammuz, brothers and sisters, was a god who was thought to die when vegetation died and come to life the next year. Women would mourn his ritual death. Verse 15. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. He brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. What a sad thing, brothers and sisters. We know that the temple of God faced the east. We know that the tabernacle of God faced the east. It faced the rising of the sun. The three tribes who were set out at the east before the tabernacle, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And before the east, we could see the rising of the sun, the entrance of the tabernacle, facing out toward the east, brothers and sisters. And what does the verse here say? It says, with their backs towards the temple, they were worshipping the sun. With their backs towards God, they were worshipping the sun. They'd got it the wrong way around, brothers and sisters. Their backs ought to have been to the sun. And the first thing, remember, brothers and sisters, we looked at this earlier on in the week, the first thing that they would see as they entered the tabernacle or the temple was the altar of sacrifice. And as you approach God, the simple but yet profound lesson was there. The first thing as you approach God is sacrifice. To approach God on His terms. And they had their backs to the things of God and were worshipping the rising sun. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Verse 5. And the kingdom was quiet, at rest before him. So for that period of 10 years, brethren and sisters, the phrase is often said, we must make hay whilst the sun shines. We must use every opportunity. Whilst we live our lives in relative quiet, we must be fortifying ourselves, brethren and sisters, spiritually. Because we don't know what the Lord has in store for us. We don't know what God will see fit to bring into our lives by His hand. And so we need to be making hay. And so here, Asa was no different. For that 10-year period, that time of opportunity, brothers and sisters, he didn't know what God had in store for him in the future, but for 10 years, he fortified himself. He strengthened his brethren and encouraged them. Verse 5, the kingdom was quiet. It was at rest before him. Verse 6, he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. They were dwelling in relative ease. Quietness. God had given them rest from their enemies. There was a cessation of war. And did he sit back? Did he put his feet up? Did he bask rather like a shark or a whale? Did he bask in the comfort and the ease that God had given him? Or did he use the opportunity wisely? Did he put his feet up? Did he waste his time? Did he squander his time? Or did he prepare himself best he could, unknowing what God would see fit, brothers and sisters, to bring into his lives? What trial or what temptations God would see fit to bring into his life? Verse 6, and he built fenced cities in Judah. Well, yes, of course God would guide and fight their battles, because the battles would be the Lord's. But he had to play his part. He still had to build the fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. Verse 5, quietness. Verse 1, quiet 10 years. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. There is an over an abundance of an emphasis, brothers and sisters, that God had given him that time of reflection, of building. And we sometimes talk about our holidays. Perhaps we should think of them as being holy days. But in our holy days, we use that holy day to reflect, to pray, not to let our hair down and to just do whatever we want and to please ourselves because we've had a jolly good Bible school, but to spend that time from time to time to reflect, and to strengthen our hearts in service to God in our times of relaxation. And we need that time, brothers and sisters, do we not? To reflect and to be thankful for the times we have spent together. And look then what Asa did. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And did the army put their feet up? Did he give the army a sabbatical, you might say? No. In times of quietness, in times of opportunity, brothers and sisters. Brother Matthew, over the past few days, has reminded us quite beautifully how God has blessed all of us in different ways. How God has given us blessings to use. And God gives us opportunities. And in those times of opportunity, we work and we serve God in different ways. Redeeming the time. Using the opportunity. and verse 8. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin they bare shields and drew bows, 200 and 80,000. All these men were mighty men of valor. And I get the impression that these men spent their time practicing and keeping themselves in shape, because they didn't know what God would bring into their lives. They had to make hay whilst the sun shone, using the opportunity in service to their king. Verse 8, did you notice? He commanded, he encouraged the men of Judah and Benjamin. Almost as if, brothers and sisters, almost as if he's trying to galvanize the nation. You remember? The house of Saul waxed weaker, and the house of David waxed stronger. The house of Saul, the Benjamites, and the tribe of Judah. Benjamin and Judah. And we find that reading carefully, particularly in the book of Judges, and right the way through, that from time to time, there was always feuding, jealousies, Ephraim and Judah. Below the surface, there was always, from time to time, jealousies amongst the tribes. And Asa, in a very wonderful way, sees how he might galvanize them together, pulling them together, bringing them together, so that they and made them feel as if they had their part to play. And sometimes we might say to ourselves, well, how can we encourage our brothers and sisters to turn out to the Bible class? How can we encourage them? How can we make them come to Bible class? Well, we can't, can we? But what we can do, brothers and sisters, is make them feel as if they're missing out. Make them feel that they've missed out on a Bible class. You should have been there. You missed out on a Bible class. And before you know where you are, you're making them feel that they should have been there. And that's what we need to do. To make our brothers and sisters feel as if they're missing out. That they need to pitch in. And here in verse 9 comes the trial and the test. Because they didn't know what God would see fit to bring into their lives. And the time of opportunity had gone. What were the soldiers doing? Had they built those walls sufficiently? Had they strengthened themselves spiritually, brothers and sisters, to meet head on, face on, what God would see fit to bring into their lives by His hand? Verse 9, and there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000, 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and came unto Merasha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Merasha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. My brothers and sisters, do you know verse 11 is one of my favorite verses? You know why? Because Asa, in one sweeping statement, he makes two quotations, right? You check them in the margin. He makes two absolutely exquisite quotations. He quotes two men. One man from the tribe of Judah, the other from the tribe of Benjamin. Watch it. because he's all about galvanizing the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. Okay, so we're good Bible students. Where are the two quotations from? He quotes Jonathan, the man of Benjamin, a renowned man, a man that over the centuries, the tribe of Benjamin would look to him and held him in great respect. And then he quotes the man of Judah, David. Watch it. 1 Samuel 14, verse 6. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. We know the story well. We're good Bible students, aren't we? We remember Jonathan and his armor bearer going up to fight the Philistines. And they go. And Jonathan says, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And he quotes the man of Benjamin. And how exquisite is that? In case the men of Judah felt left out, because this man, Asa, he knows his scripture, he quotes the man of Judah. 1 Samuel 17. But I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Remember when David ran to meet Goliath? In 1 Samuel 17, we know the story well. And in one sweeping statement, I put it to you that Asa quotes the man of Benjamin and the man of Judah, and he says, look at that, you tribes. And these men who loved each other dearly, Jonathan, who loved David as his own soul. And in one sweeping statement, brothers and sisters, he reminds them of these two giants of faith. And if we don't read the word carefully enough, we miss it, don't we? Didn't we? And this man, Asa, has the ability to just pluck it out of the Old Testament there, way back in Samuel, because he knows his stuff. And brothers and sisters, we don't just read God's word just for our academic. We have to apply it, but we have to remember, we have to retain it to strengthen ourselves. And there again, Asa, pulled out of his own spiritual knowledge, sentiments, words, and he would apply it. So the Lord, verse 12, smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Look at verse 13. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gera, and the Ethiopians were overthrown that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gera, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of the cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, let's take a step back and see what I have tried ever so hard to underline. And maybe you're a step ahead of me. Listen to the choice of words. Verse 9, the Ethiopians, turn up to chapter 16 and verse 8, when Asa is being reprimanded, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims, or, wait for it, Libyans? Same word. Okay. Let's go a little further. 2 Chronicles 14. The people are dwelling in quietness or rest. Chapter 14, verse 1. Ha, maybe you're with me now. The land was quiet. Verse 5, there was quietness in the land. Verse 6, on two occasions, the land had rest. Verse 6 again, because the Lord had given him rest. Again, verse 7, in case we missed the point, they were dwelling at rest. They had fortified cities. They were dwelling in consummate ease. Then, verse 9, the Ethiopians and the Libyans come. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Verse 13, end of verse 13. Those who had come to take a spoil, were they themselves spoiled? Come and let us take a spoil. I see some are smiling in the audience. Those who were there this morning, excellent. Some are awake. In case we missed a point, verse 14. And they spoiled the cities. And then they returned to Jerusalem victorious. I wonder, brothers and sisters, is this a cameo picture of what we find in Ezekiel? Come and let us take a spoil. And God's people are defended by God. They take the spoil and they return victorious to Jerusalem. Amazing, isn't it? And so in the early chapter here, brothers and sisters, of the life of Asa, is it but a cameo picture of what would happen in Ezekiel? God's people dwelling at rest, consummate ease, perhaps relying on their own strength. What's a picture of God's people today? And then after the battle has been won, chapter 15, verse 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. Yah has helped. That's what his name means. I'm not really one for making things too much with names, because you can make anything with names. But if it helps us here, brothers and sisters, to see the context, it was quite fitting, wasn't it, that God sent Azariah. Yah has helped. And that was quite right, wasn't it? God had helped in the battle. And so it was quite fitting that God would send Azariah. Yah has helped. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. There's that subtle hint again. Judah and Benjamin. Back in chapter 14 again in verse 8, Judah and Benjamin. Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. Isn't that exquisite, brothers and sisters? You seek God, he will find you. Strange. You seek for God, he will find you. You do the seeking, God does the finding. He will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, did you notice again, brothers and sisters, because there's people quoting scripture left, right, and center here, and it's important for us to remember so we can make the application for ourselves. Why does Azariah, whose name means Yah has helped, why does he say, the Lord is with you while ye be with him? And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. Keep a marker in 2 Chronicles 15 and go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 7, 8, and 9. This is David talking to Solomon. Verse 7, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 7. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant, consistency, if he be strong, the Hebrew there word is for constant, if he be strong to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land. Verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him, seek him, serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. You see, brothers and sisters, what better words that Azariah could quote? If you seek him, if he be constant. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And that's exactly, brethren and sisters, what Azariah goes on to say in verse 7. Be ye strong. The word there is be ye constant. So he's continuing the quotations that David uttered to Solomon. Verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, your Oded means so. Oded, it would seem, gets in on the action. He has something to say. Do you know what Oded means, brothers and sisters? It means restorer or setting up. So God sends Azariah. Yah has helped. He sends another prophet, I'm going to suggest, whose name is Oded, and his name means setting up. So God had not only helped, God would set him up as a king, establish his throne. And he reminds them, and so he puts away all the idols. Put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. He rededicates that, brothers and sisters. He rededicates the service to God. And then verse 9, we're told that they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. People from Israel are making the trip south. Just like in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 12 and 16, in the context of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Just like in the days of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 11 and 18. That those people, brothers and sisters, were coming to keep the Passover. So let's try and bring our thoughts together, brothers and sisters. Time has almost gone in the last 5 or 6 minutes that remain. And so, in chapter 15... he's buoyed up with a spiritual nation trying to serve God. And verse after verse after verse, brothers and sisters, the main thrust of the argument is seeking God. In case we miss it, verse 2 of chapter 15, if ye seek him, verse 4, sought him. Again in verse 12, seek the Lord. Verse 13, seek the Lord. Verse 15, they sought him. And then there is a terrible, terrible change in the life of this man. Look at chapter 15 and verse 18. He brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, silver and gold. He brings them into the house of God, brothers and sisters, the silver and gold, and he dedicates them. Chapter 16, what a change. He's in a terrible plight, a terrible problem. He needs help. So you know what he does? He goes into the temple and takes out the gold and the silver to buy his way out of the problem. You see the lesson, brothers and sisters? Is it that sometimes we can behave in the ecclesia as if we own the ecclesia? The ecclesia belongs to God. And that was the first downward step, brothers and sisters, in arrogance, in pride, in the life of Asa. He felt that he owned the place because he had dedicated it to God. Well, he thought he had a right to take it back and to buy his way out of the problem. And he buys his way out of the problem into more problems. And then God sends Hananiah, the third prophet, to come to see him, whose name means Yah has been gracious. And the prophet has hard words for him. And at that time, Hananiah, verse 7, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hands. And he reminds him what God had done for him. Brothers and sisters, we need to be reminded of the hand of God in our lives, looking back in retrospect, don't we? Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims, the Libyans, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. A total reversal. Before there was a cessation of war, now war will come into your life. Look at the margin, brothers and sisters. I find this exquisite. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to strongly to hold with them, strongly to hold with them whose heart is perfect. Brother, God is strongly holding with you in times of problem. Sister, God is strongly holding with you. He's holding on with you and he's saying, hold on, hold on, hold on with me, hold on with me. Encouraging you, spurring you on. Then Asa was wroth. You see, brothers and sisters, the hand of God in our lives, it can bring anger, rage, resentment. Or it can bring humility, humbleness. To say, Lord, not my will, but let thine be done. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison. For he was in a rage with him. Rather like Uzziah. Remember King Uzziah? Goes into the temple to offer incense. And where did the leprosy come? In his forehead. Right there. Even in his forehead. A man of pride, arrogant. Well, I'm like that. That's me. I'm like that. That's me. He felt he knew best. And the leprosy, the verse says, it rose up even in his forehead. He wanted to do the job of the high priest. When the high priest had holiness to the Lord upon his mitre, the king Uzziah had leprosy, even in his forehead. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. This Jekyll and Hyde character, brother. Am I like that? And oppressed, crushed, the Hebrew says in my margin. He crushed some of the people at the same time. This man who had spent his life building the brethren and sisters up, he was now crushed them. Is that a picture of you in the ecclesia? What are we like at our business meetings? When we feel so strongly about something? When we have spent our lives exhorting our brothers and our sisters from the platform or wherever? And do we crush our brothers and sisters because we want our own way all of the time? Because we feel we know best, and we always know best because I've studied it. He oppressed, he crushed some of them. Verse 11, and behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. Uzziah was diseased in his head. And here then, brothers and sisters, is a supreme example of a man who spent his whole life seeking God, telling others to seek God, seek God, seek God. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord. He spent his whole life exhorting his brothers and sisters to seek God, seek God, seek God. Yet in his pride, in his arrogance, in his anger, in his resentment against God, yet, even in his disease, when he was dying on his feet, brothers and sisters, his pride got the better of him. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to physicians. Do you know what Asa means? It means physician. And what did they say to Jesus? In Luke 4, verse 23, physician, heal thyself. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchre, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices. And they made a very great burning for him. Yet in his disease, brothers and sisters, because he didn't want to let go and let God. And that has to be another profound principle, brothers and sisters, that comes out for us in our lives. Let go, brother, and let God. Let go, sister, and let God. Last two references, and I will close. Back to in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we're told here that he renews the altar. He rededicates his life. It was a time of rededication. He rebuilds the altar. He renews his promises in service to God. 2 Peter chapter 3, brothers and sisters, then we will close. 2 Peter chapter 3. We do the seeking, God finds. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. Let's take a closing hymn, brothers and sisters. Hymn 229. Drawing your attention to verse 2. As we lay by the world and daily care, let peace abound when unto Christ our altar we repair. May praise resound. Hymn 229.